Good morning. I hope you guys could feel that worship and the power of the Spirit through it from wherever you are. Men's group, way to go. Thank you for sharing that psalm. Thank you not only for the bravery of writing it, but also for the bravery of sharing it. If you have written your own psalm at home, I encourage you to share it with people around you as well. And this week you have the same challenge. To write a psalm in the category that we're going to talk about this morning. It might be a little bit different, not writing a psalm of praise, but I challenge you to do that again as we think through. So we are spending 3 weeks together in the book of Psalms, cycling through this cycle that exists in the book of Psalms and in our own faith journeys. This cycle that is orientation, disorientation, and reorientation. Last week, we talked about orientation, these mountaintop moments where we see with clarity and we are so grateful for the goodness of God and where we just can't help but thank and praise Him and we feel near to Him. That was last week. This week, we move on to disorientation because we recognize and acknowledge that orientation isn't all that there is to our relationship with God and our faith journeys. Sometimes we're not directed, facing, seeing clearly towards Him. And my heart can't help but think that this is an apt week. Given everything that is happening in our nation and world, to discuss this, to name disorientation and to wrestle with it. So as we read Psalm 13 together this morning, I encourage you to ask, what is this stirring inside of me? Hear these words from Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer me, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And the enemy will say, I have overcome them. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praises, for he has been good to me. Whew, those final couple verses feel like a relief at the end of that passage, right? We're thankful for them and we want to get there. In this psalm as we read it, and also in life, we want to get to that moment and we're tempted to jump to the end, to the good stuff, to only experience those things. But the reality is there's a lot before that, right? A lot that is complicated, a lot that is messy, a lot that is hard. This psalm is a good picture of disorientation for us. So let's take a closer look at it. David wrote this psalm for us, and he had many questions of God, and he asked them boldly. He expresses his forgottenness in verse 1 as this psalm begins with pain. And it feels unending to him. I know for me, in seasons of grief or confusion or loss, it feels like time moves very strangely, right? A minute feels like 3 days, and a month feels like just a blip. And this forgottenness feels extended. And David gives us this sense that God is hiding, and maybe even deliberately so, hiding himself, and this is hurtful and confusing to him. In verse 2, it continues in this sense of pain and torment. this replaying of extreme emotions, this coming around and around and around again to the same thought, to the same struggle, to this replay, this cycle, this carrying of grief and sadness, which is palpable. David feels beaten down and is struggling to find a way up. And then this psalm in verse 3 turns to this pleading portion. See me, God. Pay attention. Take note. Because like David, we all want somebody to bear witness to our lives, to see us and to know us and to know our struggle and to not turn away from it. And so he requests also that he himself, David, would be able to see, that light would be brought into his life, that this hard, isolating place, that he would be able to cope and to deal and take on each stumbling block as it comes. And then we move to the end of the psalm, this place of trust and hope and praise. But take note, because these things don't take place because something has changed, because the circumstances have changed. David, we are still in a hard place, and yet there is praise. Not because there has been resolution, but because God is still worthy of it, and there's hope that he is still in it. This psalm, Psalm 13, is the one that I personally have returned to more than any passage in Scripture. And it's one that I have recommended to students more than any other passage in Scripture. Why? Because it's real. Why? Because we often struggle to say and to name these things, even though we feel them. And so this psalm gives us the words to do it. It gives voice to our human experience, because we do experience disorientation. These seasons may be short or extended, where we feel alienated from God, where we feel distant from ourselves and the world and our neighbors, where life doesn't seem to make sense, where we're living in this thick fog, whether it's communally or whether it's individually. Disorientation resists simple answers to complicated situations and complicated questions. It's an honest word of hurt and anger and despair and deep questioning. Because the fact is, sometimes God and faith, it's hard for us to make sense of them. Are any of you tracking with this? Have you felt this way before? Are these feelings familiar to you at all? Can you think of times and seasons where this has been true for you? Maybe it was a season where you experienced loss, loss of a loved one, loss of a job. Maybe it was a moment where you felt insecure, financially or in your identity or in a relationship. Maybe a moment of disorientation or a season of disorientation came out of abuse or violence. Maybe you're struggling to name the reason why you feel disoriented, and that's okay too. But I'm asking us today to honestly think about this. We need to name disorientation. We need to name and recognize it in ourselves and in our neighbors and in our communities, so that we can pay attention and we can listen well. And so we're not afraid when it comes around, and so that we don't cast guilt and shame and blame for feeling this way. Because we do. And God has given us permission to. These psalms of disorientation are often psalms of lament. This Psalm 13 is a psalm of lament, this crying out, which is necessary, but which we, even as people of God, tend to shy away from, right? Tend to cover up, tend to say, I don't really want to go to that hard place. But instead, we need to practice rather than fear disorientation. And we do that through this process of lament, of crying out, of questioning. We need to stop pretending that life is just white picket fences and also realize that it's walls. We need to stop thinking that the only way life should be is comfortable and convenient, and recognize that it's also hard and troubling. Jesus himself, in his final moments as he hung on the cross, cried out a psalm of disorientation, cried out a psalm of lament, Psalm 22. Hear these final words that Jesus uttered. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out to you by day, but you do not answer. By night, I find no rest. I'm jumping to verse 11. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Final verse 24. For God has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened to his cry for help. I take comfort in the fact that Jesus cried out these words, that he recited this psalm in his final moments, in his final breath. And in doing so, he invited God into the pain and into the mess. And in doing so, he gave us an example to also do that very thing. It gives us and it gives our neighbor permission to cry out and to follow Jesus' lead. And I'm so thankful for that, especially now, because my heart is broken and my heart is confused. And our nation is struggling. And our neighbors, our fellow humans, are suffering. We are in a time of acute and communal disorientation in this moment today. And the temptation is to look away from it, to jump to the end, to pretend that everything is fine and good. But these psalms teach us to pay attention, to look and to name, to hear the cries of people and to also offer up our own cries. Because not all of us have the luxury of turning away and of looking away. Some of us walk shorter roads of disorientation, and some of us and others of us have walked generational roads of pain and suffering and grief and injustice. And we know these things as coronavirus still looms, as there's no simple answer to it, as it still shifts and disrupts our lives. And we see this as black men like Ahmaud Arbery get killed on runs. And we see this as racism is put to the forefront, as men like George Floyd die. And as there are many responses, we see it in the way that we engage and interact with each other and in the ways that we cast blame. The fear and the anger are palpable. And friends, it's because we're disoriented. We're disoriented. And God doesn't ask us to shy away from that. Instead, because of and through these psalms and through Jesus' example, he gives us room to ask the big questions. He gives us room to ask and to seek the complicated answers as opposed to the simple ones, to admit our blindness and our confusion. I don't often do this from the pulpit, and I apologize, but my heart is burdened to do so today, to give us a reality check. Friends, if you look like me, it's time for us to pay attention to the laments of our Black brothers and sisters. Psalm 13 is their cry today, and has been their cry, if we're honest with ourselves, since our nation began. It's felt so deeply and acutely right now, and we have a responsibility to listen and to also plead to God. Because disorientation and lament actually draw us to a place of deeper faith. They actually draw us to a place of more authentic lives. And so as I conclude, I want to remind us of just a couple things. Psalms of disorientation are a reaction of the people of God when the world that they thought they knew and the world that they hoped for was broken. They reflect the pain of a people engaging with their God in world-shattering circumstances. Can you think of anything that is more relevant for us today as we notice the brokenness of our world, as our worlds have been shattered? I'm thankful for these psalms. I hope you can grow to be thankful and appreciate them too, for their permission to be honest and to be real. And I hope that they're a tool for us today. Today, as we name these things, as we ask, what's burdening my heart right now? What am I crying out for? What questions do I have for God? What am I longing for? And friends, you are given permission to bring those things before him, because disorientation is part of the journey, and we need to recognize it and to remember that we're in good company with the psalmists and Christ in it. As we conclude, I want us to pray a prayer of lament and confession together. This is Pentecost Sunday, the Sunday in which the Holy Spirit came, and so we ask for the Holy Spirit to be present with us in this prayer. As we pray, will you pray with me? God of grace, you've always called your people to weep with those who weep and to mourn with those who mourn. You recognize our disorientation. We join our voices together today in lament, confession, and celebration for all that has been done and all that remains undone. The effects of sin and brokenness are deep and wide. Racism, sexism, abuse, economic disparities, slavery, oppression of every kind. May your grace and love heal with greater depth and width than any evil thing can create or allow. We confess that we've sinned against you, our neighbors, our friends, our family, and strangers by what we have done and what we have left undone. May your grace and love fill us as it makes us whole. And so we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen.